This is Eureka on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Entrepreneurs. Mark Popper is the co-founder of one of our favourite hangouts in Geneva, Café Paradiso. He set up the Italian-inspired espresso bar and breakfast spot in 2015, along with four partners, having spent years travelling the globe and working for branding agencies. So what inspired him to venture into the world of food and drink and to launch his own café? And what advice would he give to others looking to set up their own café, bistro or bar? Today, he joins us in London to share his story and some tips.
I was born in Geneva, born and raised, first generation, actually. My parents moved there in the early 60s. Actually, my mom moved there in the early 60s, and my dad came a bit later. Met at the International School of Geneva. So my generation is the first generation to be born in Geneva. Born and raised, studied there. And then sort of traveled a little bit around the world doing different things. Came to London a couple times. Before Paradiso, I used to work for a very large company in Geneva, Rolex. And I stayed there for a couple years and then decided to change and to move to London and try different things. And I guess the sort of entrepreneurial itch that I had came really true when I was here. Working with different clients. I think coming from a large super corporate company and moving into like a smaller structure with different clients sort of makes you see things differently and really triggered something. And that's when I decided to go sort of my own way. And instead of staying in the UK, I decided to do it, you know, back home. I opened a small branding shop working with the city of Geneva mainly. And from there, I went also to sort of more private sector clients in different fields. And that's how I met my partners with Paradiso. It was always a dream to one day have a cafe or a restaurant or something. Crazy about food, and I love to discover places whenever I travel, and it's something that I've been pretty passionate about for a long time. I like to cook. Yeah, it's just something that I've been keeping in the back of my mind for a while, and then when I had this opportunity sort of come up, I just sort of jumped into it, and it was a bit of a risk because usually people tend to either, you know, go on their own or partner with friends or try to raise money through friends and family or whatever. But this was slightly different because I actually chose to partner with clients. They were acquaintances for sure. I knew them a little bit, and they've become really good friends today. The original relationship was really a business relationship. The real expertise that I could bring to this project was branding. And I partnered with a great team of architects in Geneva called Nomos, who are also very good friends. And we worked very closely to try to create this idea of what a modern neighborhood cafe should look like, knowing that Geneva is a small town and that there are a lot of places, actually. Per capita is one of the cities, I think, in Europe that has the most cafes and restaurants. It doesn't mean they're all good. On the contrary, unfortunately. But the idea was to try to create something sort of that didn't exist yet. We didn't try to reinvent the wheel in any way in what we were doing. Although we tried to stay away from any sort of, you know, typical barista coffee shop trends to create something that a little more classic and long-lasting. So when I say attention to detail, we really focused on sort of noble materials, clean lines, functional furniture, collaborated with a bunch of really talented people, and I think the result is quite unique. People seem to think that it's from some other part of the world. I think it's still a very unique place. So very often what you find in Geneva is sort of average quality for a pretty high price. There's a very strong culture of, gastronomic, traditional cuisine, very often highly priced, that caters to, a slightly older demographic. And then on the other end of the spectrum, there's like a whole bunch of just sort of very average, very little effort, very little consideration for what they're doing. You can tell that they're not in the business because they're passionate about food or coffee or whatever. They just do it because they see it as a business. We have this space and it's in an interesting neighborhood, and I was just curious and I just went and saw it, and that's when I reached out to my architect friends from Nomos, and we visited the place together and started, you know, brainstorming and sketching a few things, and that's when we realized that, you know, the neighborhood and was growing and changing, and there were extending sort of the TV headquarters, and there was a new museum coming and more galleries, etc. And it just felt like this particular part of town was not exploited enough in a way that was interesting for the crowd and the people who actually work and live there. I actually tried to write, and I did write, sort of more of a vision piece, more than a numbered business plan. And I'm not saying it's the way to go necessarily, because it's important. We didn't write a business plan with a definite concept beforehand and then looked for a space. It was first the space that came to us, and we had to sort of build the project in it. It allowed us to sort of think about what we really wanted to do first, more than all the constraints that you can sort of end up with when you actually write a business plan and what you should and shouldn't do. So I think we still function that way. And again, because I was seeing this through the eyes of a consumer or a potential customer, I was really kind of focused on what sort of experience, what sort of food do I want to eat, what sort of drinks do I want to drink, etc. That's how we built it. So it was, again, from the get-go, it was just focused on the product and then finding the right people, and then things came together. In that sense, it's maybe not the most conventional way of doing things, and it also has its downsides and risks, but you sort of go with the flow and with your intuition most of the time, more than actually, you know, by any kind of playbook or anything like that. We never pretended like we were super professional cooks with, high skills and, you know, techniques and certain things. We like to say that our cuisine is more the sort of produce-oriented than actually skill-oriented, meaning that we hire people, we train them, and we try to make simple stuff. So it's not about inventing a sophisticated dish or anything like that. It's more about assembling dishes with, you know, good seasonal products. In that sense, we try to, you know, keep it manageable. But it's definitely sort of day in, day out. Physically, it's already, you know, something that you don't expect in terms of just standing sometimes for 14 hours straight or 16 hours straight if you have an event in the evening. Or it can be pretty grueling, but there's a lot of satisfaction, because the one thing that this sort of business has that others probably don't have as much is the sort of immediacy and direct feedback that you get from a customer that you're serving on the other side of the counter. And that's kind of very rewarding, because you can't really cheat, you know, when you try to keep things simple and honest and you have someone on the other side, you can tell pretty easily how they feel about it. What I like to say to myself, and I guess to anyone who asks me how I like to run things, is that if you get people and your product right, the rest doesn't really matter. Customers will come, I guess, in a way. And marketing through social media or other means is something that's extremely used today, especially in the food world. But you don't really have to worry too much about, you know, promoting your business in an aggressive way or anything like that. I think the idea is to try to grow things as organically and simply as possible through a tight-knit network of friends and family. And then hopefully word of mouth will, you know, do the rest. There's a lot of competition everywhere. It's interesting, I think, just to create something that's as personal as possible, not worrying too much about what the others are doing. I think, you know, you're always going to find someone who's going to do something similar or in the same field or whatever, but to try to focus on things that really matter to you and to try to create a unique thing, you know, something that's that you can be proud to talk about. That's what I would sort of say to anyone who wants to do that. To start small, keep it as simple as possible. Don't try to do anything that's just too complicated, something that you don't understand. I always think that your mom or your dad are having lunch in your place and how you'd like them to see your project. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Thanks very much to Mark, co-founder of Café Paradiso, for coming in. Thanks too to Gaia Lutz, who produced this show, and to Kieran Matthew Banerjee, who edited it. I'm Matt Alagaya. Thanks very much for listening. Goodbye.